This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello all and welcome back. We made it. We got back a day ago. 4,000 miles covered, Romania and back, Black Sea and back. That will all be over on the main channel. Feels lovely to be back. Feels like it's dropped about 10 degrees since I was here. So the winter clothes are out. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to get in touch. Without you, this would be completely impossible to make these podcast episodes on a weekly basis. Cannot thank you all enough for continuing to get in touch. Best place to do so, comment section below. Please do share all your thoughts. And if you have a longer story. Yep, that's right. A longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Let's begin. In fact, let's first begin. This may be the last time you see this table. My legs don't fit under it, so I have to sit about 20 centimetres away, so I think I need to get a more sensible one without that bigger a wooden slat, meaning that I can't get my legs under. So apologies if I'm leaning over weirdly. The USA, the land of the free and also the land of the best value motorcycles. Take a listen to this. I find this stuff so interesting. This is in from Fun with AJ. I can one up on that Thruxton that you showed from last week. I shared a listing with my buddy Andres here from Southern California for one, a Triumph Thruxton at $9,500 US, exactly the same colorway as you showed last week, and this time just 4,500 miles on the clock of this one. He bought it within a week, best price I've seen for one of these in the condition that it's in. Also note, there were more than just the RS model of the Thruxton. There was also the FE, the RS, and Triumph factory custom. On top of that, there was the ton up and the chrome. Great. AJ, you've given me some brilliant food for thought here. I love this topic. First off, prices in the USA, always intriguing, always enticing. Second, Triumph factory customs. These are the ultimate versions of the ultimate range of Triumph motorbikes. They did a Triumph factory custom Rocket, Triumph factory custom Thruxton, and a couple of others. In essence, you have to pay a huge amount more, but Triumph will offer what is, in essence, a full-on, hardcore, ludicrously high-end custom motorbike made directly from Triumph. In fact, I think they may even make these in their Hinckley, England headquarters. I think I may be wrong with that. They are the absolute ultimate. Cost a lot, but you get a lot for your money. I think they're all limited to 700 pieces worldwide. So what I wanted to have a look at here, the Triumph Factory Custom Rocket, the ultimate version of the ultimate motorcycle within Triumph's range. Take a look at this. Fascinating viewing here. In the UK, 2020 model Triumph Factory Custom Rocket. So it's a five-year-old one, £21,000. Bear in mind, it's a British brand. I think it's made in Britain, Triumph Factory Customs. So usually the Triumphs are the best value in Britain. This is £21,000. That's about the going price one of these for a five-year-old one. Hold the value insanely well. How about the USA? Exactly the same bike, same year, being sold in California, not £21,000. Price equivalent, I've translated it from US dollars to pound sterling, £12,500. 12.5 grand. That is near enough a £9,000 saving. Let's dig a little bit deeper here, because two wheels, one Focus over in Finland. Finn here looking at the same 2017 Indian that you showed last week, the big, I think it was the Chief Tourer in Finland, €26,000 if you want to buy one of these bikes. 26,000. So let's have a little bit of fun. I found just one Indian Chief Classic for sale in Finland. Only one on the website I was checking. 2014 model, panniers, all in black with those lovely chrome accents. £20,773. But it's recently been reduced all the way down to £17,340. So someone has reduced it by £3,400. So the price, £17,300. If you want the exact same bike over in the US, in fact, the US model is 1 year newer than this one, same bike, £6,600. So even with the reduction in Finland, you're saving £11,000 on this motorbike. That is impossible to ignore. Same motorbike, 1 year newer actually in the USA, £11,000 cheaper. Let that soak in. Is it worth it? You get to this point here with these huge savings. Is it worth going over to the US, buying one of these bikes, an Indian, a Harley Davidson, doing a huge US road trip that you'll remember for the rest of your life, or I should say, buying your dream bike, let's say this £6,600 Indian, doing a cross USA road trip for 3 to 4 weeks, putting it onto a container, shipping it back to Finland. You've got your dream bike, you've got memories that will last a lifetime, you've got a proper story behind the bike, you're going to have to pay some taxes, but you're still going to, in essence, have that entire holiday, that entire experience for free, probably have a couple of thousand euros or dollars left in your bank, and have covered all the money for the shipping. It's food for thought, isn't it? I've got a first-hand example of how good value these Indians are over in the USA. This is from Chris. Freddie, I'm from the US, but now living in Colorado, USA. I was interested in your article about the couple that have just done Route 66 on an Indian. I've just bought a 2017 Indian Chief Vintage, exactly the same one I've been talking about. This is perfect. To do the same trip next year, then heading to Sturgis for the bike week. That looks insane. That's classic America on steroids, Sturgis. The bike is one owner, 3,000 miles on the clock. I paid $8,000 for it and then $480 for sales tax and registration. Such great value. Cannot wait for the new year to come. Let's translate that into pounds sterling. $8,000 is £5,900 sterling. And you've got the exact same bike, but 3 years older in Finland for £17,300. Thank you, USA. On now. A Scottish road trip. Freddie, my name's Isaac. I met you at the Wars motorbike launch at Riker's Cafe. Isaac, how could I forget? I remember you well. And I was the chap heading off to Scotland that very day. And I just wanted to share a bit about my 2,000 mile trip over 9 days. Isaac, I remember this so well. You rocked up here, literally about to head off, and you kindly came to Riker's for the launch. And straight after that, you were off to Scotland. Continuing, I've been riding for 8 years and I'm 24 years old now, and I've been on a bike for a third of my life. But after my BMW S1000XR, I wanted something a bit more practical and retro that I'd take up more but still have some fun and be able to tour on. And this led me to the BMW R1290. The most ludicrous name I've ever heard in biking, but what a bike. In the option 719. Yeah, Isaac, that's good. And it's been my favorite bike by far. On this new bike this year, I was due to go on a 9-day tour of Ireland in September with my great uncle, me on my BMW and him on his BSA Gold Star. However, in late May, he was involved in what we think was a hit and run on his bicycle. Unfortunately, not enough evidence to prove anything. So with all this happening and also knowing Roy was okay and on the mend, I chatted with him about what to do, and he suggested still doing a solo tour and still getting out on the bike. And after having this chat and comfort watching your videos through this whole experience, I was inspired to go on my first solo tour. This was a huge deal to me, and I'm extremely, extremely introverted and have lacked confidence throughout my life. But after everything that happened, I knew it would be a great thing to do. I then started on the west coast of Scotland for the tour, as it wasn't too majorly out of my comfort zone, but would still be a great adventure to somewhere I hadn't been before. For day one, I visited you at Rikers, and then I went home, packed my bike, and made my way up to Lincoln to visit Roy, my uncle, and Mandy. Then up through the Yorkshire Dales and across west and up through the Lake District, where I booked a Premier Inn, getting extremely wet in about 7 hours worth of riding in the rain, where I then had to use a hairdryer for 3 hours, drying everything on me. The day was that bad. Isaac, I know that. You get in at the end of a long day's ride, everything is soaking. You are mentally and physically drained, and that hairdryer comes out. I'll be honest, I'm usually too lazy. I like the idea of getting a hairdryer out. I usually end up putting all my stuff on a radiator and waking up in the morning and just realizing I didn't even turn the radiator on. So I just chuck on my soaking wet stuff that stinks. So you're one step ahead of me, Isaac, with that. Very good going. Continuing up then to Fort William, where I camped Glen Nevis campsite with an amazing view. I then went across to the Isle of Skye. Day 5, as my camera died across the Applecross Pass, I decided to join a couple of bikers that I'd met the night before, and I went across the Applecross to get a great recording of it. I then said my goodbyes and came back across the Applecross again and went up to the west coast, where I followed the North Coast 500. I then continued down through Glencoe, visited that famous Skyfall Road. That's now a mecca point to visit. After that, Lake District, when I always forget how to say this, Rhinos and Hard Knot Pass. Hard Knot Pass is the best riding road I've ever done in England. Every place I stopped to camp or stay in a hotel, there'd be a biker or two who would strike up a conversation, talk about their experiences, and tell me about their fascinating stories and lives. Heated grips on the BMW saved me from freezing on the classic Scottish rainstorms as well. And I highly, highly recommend the BMW R1290 to anyone who wants amazing reliability, comfort, and fun with lots of character. Isaac, thank you so much for sharing those. I remember when we were at Rikers, I told you, send me over all of your pics and your story from the trip. I would love to share that. So I'm delighted you got back in touch, Isaac. Thank you so much. Sorry, everyone, if you can hear that. It's just started torrential raining outside, and I have no idea how the acoustics of this garage are and if it picks up all of the rain. But it does give quite a cozy feeling to the place in here, just with that warm light coming through and raining outside. I don't know if you can see my Bonneville. I'm going off on a tangent. It feels nice to be back. Bonneville there, everything here, trying to soak it in. So moving on to Lee. Oh, Lee, yes, perfect timing, a dream. Freddie thought it might be a bit of fun to share my newly acquired garage. I've moved from a flat to a home with a garage. Oh my God, how amazing to have a place for me and my bikes. I have to say, or I have no say whatsoever in the house, but the garage, that's my space. I've got my BMW RT up in the corner. Since following your hints, I got a pre-registered new 2024 Royal Enfield Classic 350. Got it at a steal. And I don't even take the big RT out anymore. I love the Royal Enfield so much. I even took it up the M5 from Devon to the Adventure Bike Rider Festival. Sat at 70 miles an hour, no problem. Anyway, I thought it might be fun for people to share their garage designs. I've stolen your idea of garden lights hanging from the ceiling. Also followed you getting your John Doe 1 helmet, and I haven't looked back. Lee, make me so happy seeing this. There's nothing I like more than seeing a simple garage turned into not just a garage where you store a bike or something like that, but get a coffee machine in there, get a sofa in there so you can just sit down and look at your motorbike. It doesn't matter if it's a 500-pound motorbike or a state-of-the-art 40,000-pound bike. Anything, your pride and joy right in front of you. Have a coffee. Just so gloriously, it's great to hear from you. And I love those pics. Is biking not the most amazing thing in the world. I love it. On now to M and ST. Did you see? Yes, I did. Did you see the record-breaking ride by Patrick Cornell on an Indian pursuit to raise awareness and money for myotonic dystrophy? Apparently he did. Let this soak in. He did 125,000 miles in 125 days. That isn't a typo. I've checked everywhere. This American gent, who's 60 years old, he's former US Navy, he's a former firefighter, he is the first respondent at the Twin Towers, the 9/11 explosions, and he, at 60 years old, has averaged 1,000 miles a day, every day, for 125 days. I've never heard anything like this at all. On top of that, so what happened? He has a family member with myotonic dystrophy, and he wanted to raise money for it. He's raised a massive amount of money. He was meant to do, I think, initially 100,000 miles. Smashed through that. He's now carrying on, to the best of my knowledge, doing 1,000 miles a day, every day, for as long as he keeps getting $1,000 minimum in donations. So he's going to carry on as long as people keep donating. And he's on 125. In fact, I think he's now on 135,000 miles. What the bikes had, brand new pursuit donated by Indian, which is fantastic of them. New starter, new fuel pump, 11 rear tires, and just standard servicing. That's it, nothing else. If that isn't a great advert for American and Indian motorcycle build quality, I don't know what is. That's excellent marketing for Indian. Carrying on, over in the USA, this is Colorado Mark. Freddie, in reference to the Route 66 road trip with the Indians, yes, we do road trips on another level here in the States. I've got a good friend who's rolled up 50,000 miles on a brand new Royal Enfield Himalayan 450 in 1 year. Staggering mileage. He's taken it from the Arctic Circle, that will be all the way up very, very northern Alaska, all the way down to Key West in Florida, and has seen all lower 48 states. His YouTube channel is Fuzzy Biker Moto. Both of us have been trying to break the new Himalayan, but have yet been able to succeed. Mark, I was talking about that Indian being good advertising. That's exactly the same for the Himalayan. I remember when the new Himalayan came out. It's, of course, got a bigger engine. It's much more refined than the Generation 1 Himalayan. But it's just missing that classic original Land Rover Defender styling, that really rough and ready styling. But if you take everything into account, it's a far better built, far more refined machine. And the fact you've done 50,000 miles around the US trying to break it and you haven't succeeded, that is a fantastic advert for the bike. It's a much, much more accomplished machine than the Generation 1. And that is proof. Now to KTM Mark. Freddie, there are a lot of talks going on about a 400cc Triumph Thruxton. I've got the 1200, which I hope to keep, even if it's just to look at. Mark, let's take a look at this. So on MCN, they've got an article here. Yeah, Triumph launch new Thruxton 400 Cafe Racer. Interestingly, in India, launched in India, a foot ahead of the first full global release later this year. So this came out, this article, about a month ago. Interestingly, because they are made in India, gets launched in India first, which is very interesting in itself. I think this looks really good. The 400 platform, I know a few people disagree. Nick Moto UK, I saw your comment on it. You think this shouldn't have the Thruxton name on it. For me personally, I think it's a really good looking bike. I like this 400 platform. I think it works extremely well here. And I would say, this will polarize opinion. I would say actually that if there were ever a genre of motorbike where you want to be able to push it to the limit, i.e. a genre where smaller capacity suits it, it's actually sports bikes. Because sports bikes are most conducive to feeling like you're as close to the limit as possible. To feel like you're pushing it, you're on the raggedy edge, you're having to lean into every corner to make sure you carry as much speed out of the corner as possible. It's the dynamism that you want from a sports bike. You want to feel like you're an Isle of Man TT racer. And in this 400cc, let's say 40 horsepower outfit here, I think for real road riding, this is going to be phenomenal levels of fun here because you can actually push this bike to the limit. This is going to be incredibly fun and it has the looks. I love that fairing on it. I love it in this color combo. That will be a good bike. And the reason the old Thruxton stopped selling is simply because no one was buying it, relatively speaking. So maybe this could fit in a nice little niche here for Triumph. It's not a big risk for them. They've got the 400 platform that they're using for the Speed 400 and the 400X. All they have to do is change a few tiny little bits. Boom, you've got a 400cc Thruxton. Get that in the lineup. It's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people. I think that's a good move for them. Now, bike of the week. Brand new bike here. I don't often do this, but there's been a bike I've been so excited about. Oh, for a year, I saw this come out at that incredible looking Indian motor show. I think they call it Motorverse or something over in Goa. And there was this Royal Enfield, special looking Royal Enfield. It's called the Goan. And I saw it, I thought, that's the coolest looking bike I've ever seen in my life. And then I heard it's only going to be available in India. Then I think what happened is that there was such an uproar from European markets that Royal Enfield, in essence, felt, oh my God, okay, we have to bring it out. We can't be selfish and just keep this for the Indians. We need to bring this over, give some to the Europeans, maybe the Americans, the Australians, et cetera, et cetera. And it's here. I'm so happy. This wasn't meant to come, to the best of my knowledge, to Europe. But I can guarantee right now, these are in showrooms, in dealerships around the UK. Do you know how I know that? Well, I've been told a couple of times. And yesterday, Monica was driving through Ipswich and she saw one of the Goans riding through Ipswich because I think it's come from Orwell's motorcycle shop just 5 miles down the road. This bike looks phenomenal. Let's take a look at it. In essence, you've got a Royal Enfield Classic 350 and you turn it into a Goan hippie machine. That's just summarizing it briefly. £4,719. That's sub £5,000 for dream level machine. It's just stunning. 350cc, 20 horsepower. After we're now in 2025 and everything's getting more tech, more power, the advertising slogans are always, we now have lean angle X and Y, full integration with your phone, and now you can get Spotify for X and Y and beep, beep, beep. No, this is a middle finger to all of that. This is stripped back, cool attitude. It's going to get a lot of people excited about biking. It's just simple old school biking. Just make a cool looking bike with no extra gimmicks or anything like that. It's just the most incredible looking machine. Royal Enfield's website. Sorry, it's been a while since I've spoken about bikes, so I think I'm a bit overexcited. Let me read out what Royal Enfield have said here and I'll try and calm down. Speaking about the motorcycle, B. Govindarajan, CEO of Royal Enfield, said, rooted in custom bobber culture, the Goan Classic is a beautiful fusion of classic design and modern engineering. From the low slung silhouette and the single floating rear seat, the contours and the ergonomics, the dazzling colorways. The Goan Classic has a very bohemian and free-spirited vibe, combined with relaxed and comfortable riding manners. Sold. I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I really hope you enjoyed the video. It feels great to be back. See you all in the next one, if I can get out of this table.